Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting live, but not video streaming, as I'm out on the road continuing filming on a documentary. And I'll be out for a few weeks. Today, this is our talkback segment. No guest, no in-depth investigative reporting, no commentary. Instead, the latest on how we can help prevent or reverse or improve all of our conditions. I'm going to talk about a new study that was reported by Mike Abundrant on killing ourselves softly, about the food-mood connection. Also, edible flowers. This is from a permaculture college in Australia. They're eating them. We should, too. Why the omega-3 oils help at the cellular level, from the University of California. All of this is major peer-reviewed journal. Also, an herbal extract that can help binge drinking, curb it, so you're not as likely to do that. And ways to reduce the cancer-causing effects of cell phones. If you've been eating berries, especially blueberries, that could help you defeat cancer. And also, a new study reveals how high-fat foods impact diabetes and metabolic syndrome. Plus, we have several studies on coenzyme Q10 and selenium. All of the studies, all the time, are from mainstream scientific research published in peer-reviewed journal. The difference is these are not industry-supported. These are truly independent, and therefore they're important for us. At any time during this hour that you would like to call in and share a question or a thought, please feel free to do so. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And some people are listening over the phone. Therefore, you're not able to call in. Beginning in a week, we have just corrected some technical issues, so we'll be able to Skype all over the world. So we'll be able to see you. The people listening over the internet will be able to see you, and that's good. And we'll probably have that up and running tomorrow, the next day. We have tens of thousands of people listening over the telephone. In fact, we're number one in the entire Western Hemisphere, South America, North America, Canada. Only second in the whole world out of thousands and thousands of users. If you'd like to call in and listen to a show, download a program at any time from anywhere in Canada or the United States, the phone number is 619-550-0869. 619-550-0869. Let's begin. Cranberries are important. Most people don't get the cranberry in the right way. They'll get a very diluted solution of cranberries, generally with a lot of sugar or corn syrup. The best way of having cranberries is to have it as an extract or a concentrate unsweetened. This is the Journal of Clinical Trials. Here's what they say. Quote, the study hypothesis is that cranberry syrup is safe and effective in the prophylaxis of urinary tract infections, equivalent or at least not inferior to the popular prophylaxis antibiotic. Our study confirms that cranberry syrup is a safe treatment for the pediatric population, including infant as young as 2 months of age. Cranberry prophylaxis is shown to be non-inferior versus the current recommendations of antibiotics for urinary tract infections. Now, that's really positive. You see, only in the independent research will you have someone come out and say a natural substance, in this case cranberries, are equal to the antibiotic. Well, no, they're not, because antibiotics destroy all the microflora in your intestine. Good and bad, but the bad grow back quicker, the good don't. This doesn't destroy any good bacteria, has no side effects, is only positive. So cranberry, I suggest on a daily basis to keep urinary tract infections at bay. I know many of you are using red fruit compounding powders that are sugar-free, except for the natural occurring fruit. At least two of those have cranberries in them, so you're getting a lot of cranberry. Otherwise, you should be eating organic cranberry or the unsweetened juice, better still the concentrate. Coenzyme Q10 is simply one of the finest nutrients we can put in our body. It helps prevent a heart attack because it gives lots of energy to the mitochondria in the muscle itself of the heart. Here is the latest in a major study published in the International Journal of Cardiology. The research was done at the Linköping University and the Karolinska Institute in Sweden. Quote, long-term supplementation with a combination of selenium and coenzyme Q10 may decrease cardiovascular death by 6%, according to new studies. Quote, these results cannot be ignored. Now, they're giving 200 milligrams a day and plus of coenzyme Q10 plus 200 micrograms a day of organic selenium yeast. And that's how they got these results. I would suggest using 300 milligrams twice a day of the coenzyme Q10. The selenium is fine, but that could make a big difference. Now, on top of that, if you really want to cut your risk of heart disease, then L-carnitine at about 500 to 1,000 milligrams, hawthorn at 100 to 200 milligrams, NADH at 20 to 80 milligrams, and mixed natural tocopherols at up to 1,000 units. This is from the University of La Palmas and University of Granada. They looked at 9,000 participants who had never been diagnosed with depression. This was a 6-month study published in the peer-reviewed journal Public Health Nutrition, and it, quote, clearly revealed that people who ate fast foods, fried foods, and commercially baked pastry products were 51% more likely to develop depression compared to those that did not. A Professor Vialgas, lead author of this study, strongly encouraged people to avoid cakes, croissants, donuts, etc., as well as common fast foods such as hamburgers, hot dogs, and the like. She said, quote, even eating small quantities is linked to a significantly higher chance of developing depression. Now, the researchers indicated that perhaps trans fats and saturated fats were the main culprits. However, those are linked to heart disease. They are very much pro-inflammatory, and that can cause inflammation in the brain. And it's in the brain that the neurotransmitters are created, and that can affect mood. So that's why when you're around soft music and pleasant sounds and pleasant people and nature, your neurotransmitters are firing at a different level than when you're in a hyperkinetic, hyperagitated, hyperstress condition. Then you add in high fructose corn syrup and irradiated food and artificial sweeteners and genetically modified food and synthetic hormones and artificial colors and flavors and nitrites and antibiotics and preservatives and fungicides and pesticides and herbicides on top of trans fats. Little wonder that people are showing this. Now, a separate study conducted over a 5-year period, published in the British Journal of Psychiatry, looked at 3,500 men and women and who loved high processed diets, meat, sweet desserts, fried food, regular sugared and dairied chocolates, refined cereals, and high-fat dairy products. The results, quote, participants were 58% more likely to be depressed than those who ate mainly fruits, vegetables, and fish. In reflecting on this study and looking for causes, Dr. Andrew Weil stated, quote, I'm convinced that depression may represent just one manifestation of increased inflammation throughout the body. The fats and junk foods may well contribute to depression because they are pro-inflammatory. Then another study, published in the American Journal of Psychiatry, found a direct correlation between the consumption of processed foods and the incidence of depression and anxiety. We're talking about enriched flours and deli meats and snacks and artificial sweeteners and commercial sweetened fruit juices. So now they're finally acknowledging something that many of us have known for a long time. In fact, one of the more popular books that I've written and a PBS documentary I did was called The Food Mood Connection. And when people try to cleanse and detoxify, they generally find a big improvement in their mood. I'll give you one personal story. A friend of mine was a person who financed, he was the money person in films and a lot of endeavors out in Hollywood. And once when he asked, would I help some of his friends that met on a Friday afternoon, they had lunch and then they played backgammon. And these were older people. I won't mention their names, but they were all the legends of the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and some into the 60s. They were all successful business people. And yet every one of them had problems, and most of them had depression. Because when I was talking with him one-on-one inside his home, and I asked, how long have you been suffering from these symptoms? And they had been suffering for quite some time. And I asked my friend, I said, the meal that you just serve people, is this what you normally serve? He said, yeah, this is it. We get it in from a deli. And I said, you're aware that virtually every single thing here is bad for you. There's not one healthy item. And his response was typical. He said, but that was a $700 catered lunch. I said, I don't care if it was $7 million catered lunch. It's junk. And it's going to adversely affect him. So we got everyone together, and I said, I realize it's not easy to make the changes when you're asked to give up your comfort foods, but I believe that all of you, from your arthritis to your gouty foot to your problems with your lower back and fatigue, short-term memory loss, I believe it's all due to the amount of inflammation in your diet. If you're willing to try for just 1 month to eat specific foods, then what I'll do to make it easy is I'll select some people who have a background in holistic nutrition who will come to your house and make meals for you, do your juicing, so you don't have to do it on your own, because there's a high probability you're not going to do it if you had to do it on your own. So they agreed to it. So over the next 3 months, I extended it. Every day they were drinking juices and smoothies, and you have no idea what it's like unless you have dealt with this, then you do. When someone says, I don't like the taste of this. This tastes like pond scum. Okay, well, what's your favorite flavor? Well, I like chocolate. All right. So then we just started adding chocolate to everything that the people drank. And so at least they would continue drinking their juices. And at one point, I had them to what is the ideal detox, which is 13 glasses of juice a day. And this is all organic and fresh. And plus other items they could eat. And three things happened. One, I managed to get my friend to hire a person in Los Angeles who catered healthy foods, but they tasted delicious. And they also had items. In fact, they used one of my recipes, and the guys didn't know that they were not having hamburger. There's a way that you can take walnuts and you pulverize walnuts in a blender, and then you add mustard seed and onion, fresh onion, and pine nuts, lightly toasted. And then you take a portobello mushroom and you dice the portobello mushroom and you put it in, and you add some lemon juice with olive oil, salt and pepper and cayenne, and just a pinch of Tabasco sauce, and then you blend that, then you make that into a patty, and then you just dry it at about 115 degrees, which means it's still raw food, and you put that on a gluten-free sprouted bun, nice big thick piece of tomato, nice crunchy lettuce, and especially good is a soft lettuce is not good because it'll wilt. But a crisp romaine is excellent. And then you put your mustard on the bottom. They loved it. They thought they were eating big, thick hamburgers. They weren't. Now, that's a simple recipe to do. And you can alter the flavor depending upon your choice. But this way, they didn't feel they were being completely deprived. Now, the bottom results were, at the end of 3 months, all of them had increases in energy, libido, better sleeping. They didn't have the afternoon fatigue or mid-morning fatigue. They were losing body fat, belly fat. In fact, two of them showed me, "Gary, look at this." You know, and they could show the belt, and they had to pull the belt in and get new holes made. And the guy who had the toe that had lots of purines, uric acid from all the meat he was eating, especially salami, it was gone. So the gout was gone, the arthritis was gone, the wheezing that one of them had was gone, the puffy eyes another one had, the high blood pressure that two of them had, and the depression that half of them had, all gone in 3 months. So if nothing else works for the people that you are trying to help, if they are at least willing to work with you, there's no reason you can't improve their mood by improving their diet. And by the way, we see that all the time when we detox people. Now, this is from Robin Francis from the Permaculture College of Australia. Quote, "Flowers play an important role in an edible landscape and in any good food production permaculture. Now, the benefits of integrating flowering plants into a vegetable garden are numerous. One, they attract bees and other insects to pollinate and predate on common pests. Fragrant flowers and flowering herbs help confuse and repel some harmful insect pests, and an exceptionally diverse range of flowers that can be harvested for potpourries and herbal teas and aromatherapy and cut flowers and also as food. Now, many fruit trees and vegetables have beautiful flowers with aesthetic value as well as other uses. Some of the favorite flowering fruits include pomegranate and also stone fruits, and there, by the way, the stone fruits would be peaches and nectarines and plums, and there's just nothing more delightful than the fragrance of a citrus tree in flower. And salsify, chicory, globe artichoke, and Jerusalem artichoke rank amongst the most attractive flowering vegetables. Now, many of the plants commonly grown in gardens solely for their flowers are medicinal and culinary herbs, and some produce edible fruit, like edible berry. Roses have also been a great favorite in ornamental landscapes. The old traditional varieties are the best for harvesting the hips, the fruit, for herbal teas and jellies. But any fragrant rose can be harvested for a potpourri, and if you want a real treat, try making some rose petal jam. Also, you can make a rose petal into an infusion, which is delightful too. And then you add some lemon, lime, and then you can spritz that onto a salad. By the way, one way to make a potato a little more interesting for people is first wash it thoroughly and with a veggie off and get rid of all the grime and scrub it. Then cut it in three sections, but leave it whole. You're allowing heat to escape so it cooks more evenly. Otherwise, you're going to do this. You're going to get the potato, and then when you open it up, it's still not cooked in the middle. It's kind of hard and a little wet and could be overcooked on the outside. This way, it cooks more evenly. Then simply baste it in coconut oil. That protects the skin from burning, and the skin has the alpha lipoic acid in it. And it also, wicks off excess heat from accumulating in any of the pits, because potatoes are almost never just even. There's always little hills and valleys on the skin. Now, once you take it out, and then you open it up, And I love to put fresh sweet onion in, but also sauteed shiitake mushroom. But before you dive into it, spray lemon juice into it. And lemon juice, then put your salt and pepper on. Lemon juice just pops the flavor of potatoes. Really gives it a wonderful sensation and a great different taste. So the elderberry bush, by the way, has been used for centuries as a multi-purpose plant in Europe. Its medicinal qualities are well known. The fruit is used to preserve different jams, and elderberry wine and the flowers are prized for potpourries and winemaking, most of all for making elderflower fritters. And the flowers of pumpkin and squash are delicious in many cultures, especially lightly sauteed with toasted sesame oil. And you can eat the male flowers and leave the females to produce fruit. And there are a surprising number of regular ornamental flowers that can add color and zest as a garnish for salads and sweet dishes. Violets, pansies, petunias, carnations, calendula. Those are just some. I love the garnish of a mulberry with borage flowers and a spiced baked custard with ginger flowers, and toss a nasturtium and calendula petals in a fresh garden salad, or top off a parfait with a couple of violets or heartaces. Now, so there's a lot you can do. And what I'm going to be doing in the next couple weeks, I'm building from scratch and photographing every stage how to make your own hydroponic and aquaponic garden. To buy one would probably run you around $9,500 just for the setup. That does not include the enclosure. But I want to show you how to do it for 10% of that by doing it yourself instead of having someone else do it. And also, just a small hydroponic house can grow about around 16,000 plants a year. But they're not looking at horizontal and vertical lines. And I've invented some new ways of doing it so you could get 35 to 40,000 plants. So let's just say that you harvested these at wholesale for restaurants at a dollar a piece. Then you're looking at between 30 and 40,000. But if you're using microgreens, you're looking at 50 to 100,000. And sprouts, like sunflower sprouts, about the same. So there's no reason that many people couldn't, as a home-based business or just to help support their own family's dietary needs, start doing a lot of gardening. But creating edible flowers is one of the most profitable, because a little box with a sponge in it of edible flowers, if you take the sponge out, the actual edible flowers weigh only about an ounce, and yet they're selling for about $9. So you're looking at something that's well over $100 a pound. So that's very profitable, and they grow relatively fast. And when you do the hydroponic, you don't have to be concerned about the insects or too little sunlight or too much rain. All that's not essential. So just always be aware that you should be consuming flowers, edible flowers, and there are some flowers you don't want to eat. So you simply get a list of the flowers that are safe and the flowers that are not. And if you look in any of the Seeds of Change or the Organic Part of Johnny's or any of the other seed catalogs, it'll show you with a fork and a spoon which ones are edible and which are not. That'll help you. And finally, why the omega-3 fatty acids help at the cellular level. Now, this is from the University of California, San Diego. Here's what it says. Quote, findings suggest possibility of boosting the health benefits. For the first time, researchers at University of California, San Diego, have peered inside a living mouse cell and mapped the processes that power the celebrated health benefits of omega-3 fatty acids. More profoundly, they say their findings suggest it may be possible to manipulate these processes to short-circuit inflammation before it begins, or at least help to restore inflammation to a pre-inflammatory level. There's always a little bit of inflammation in the body. The work is published in the current issue of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Now, we all know that the omega-3 fatty acids, either from vegan sources or fish, are extremely beneficial. Turns off inflammation, good for your heart, good for your brain. Quote, there have been tons of epidemiological studies linking health benefits to the omega-3 oils, but not a lot of deep science, says a distinguished professor of pharmacology and chemistry and biochemistry. This is the first comprehensive study of what fish oils actually do inside the cell. And then it showed that what it does and how it benefits. So that's all good. One more reason to have your omega-3 fatty acids each day. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment to take your calls. It's Talk Back time, and our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And very shortly, you're going to be able to call in from anywhere in the world on Skype. If you're listening over the telephone, which has liberated so many people from having to be in a car or by a computer or by a radio, you can listen anywhere in the United States. 619-550-0869. 619-550-0869. We're now accumulating not just millions, but tens of millions of minutes. So it's working. Back in a moment. Welcome, all of you. I'm Gary Noll. Let's say hello to George from the Bronx. Hi, George.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for taking my call.
How can we help you, George?
Yes, I'd just like to make a brief comment about my experience, my wife and I experienced with the Natural Living Walking and Running Club, and we were able to complete a 1.5-mile loop around the Central Park Reservoir, and it was, for us, it was a major milestone because we both have health problems, with back problems and also with weight problems. And I just want to say that the experience was exhilarating, and that the people that we met and the group and whatnot, they were so positive and supportive. And I'm just saying what a wonderful experience that it was. And if there's any other senior citizens that are sitting on the sideline or watching TV and stuff like that, it's not, I just want to tell them it's not too late to get out there and change their life, because it was a beautiful experience.
Good for you. We, mind you, it's not just for people who want to run or race walk the New York City Marathon. There are about 100 people who want to do that. But there are a lot of people who would just like to get into good shape and do maybe 6 miles, which is all that's needed to get in optimal shape. So we're also training. In fact, one of the primary coaches and one of the motivators of the whole group was there today, Jimmy, to guide those people. Every week we guide new people and show them what they have to know as far as their equipment and their style and form out there. All the best to you. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks very much.
Let's say hello to Bill from New Jersey. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Gary. How you doing? I have a question regarding periodontal disease. What would you recommend in that in the treatment of that problem?
Well, most people are not aware that periodontal disease is second only to the common cold as the most prevalent infectious ailment in the United States. Are you aware of that?
I knew it was very prevalent. I didn't know it was that prevalent.
Try upwards of over 75% of all Americans over the age of 35. And it's also the number one cause of tooth loss.
Yeah.
And the older you get, the worse it is. It's periodontal means located around a tooth. And it refers to the problems of the gum and the supporting structure around teeth. For example, gingivitis, which is inflammation of the gums, is just a pre-stage of periodontal conditions, much like dementia is a pre-stage to Alzheimer's, and short-term memory loss is a pre-stage to dementia. And periodic memory loss, where to put my keys, what was that guy's name, that is pre to short-term memory loss.
Right.
The primary cause is plaque. And you know what plaque is? That's that deposit of bacteria, but it also, the more mucus a person has in the mouth, the more likely they are to have it, especially if it's sticky mucus. And a lot of people have it at night. That's why when they wake up in the morning, it's between the lips. And it's when people don't understand how important it is to take your time and really clean the teeth and then get regular preventative dentists. Like twice a year, I go and have my teeth cleaned and have my gums examined because you don't want infection or swelling. Now, as your gums are under attack by a little tiny piece of food particles or even juices like citrus juice or a sweetened juice, then they can swell. And then you get these little pockets forming, and that's bad. But you could also have it because of breathing through your mouth. People who sleep, sleep apnea in particular, they almost always breathe through their mouth. And then some people grind their teeth, too many soft foods. All of these are important factors. But the key is, if left untreated, you end up with gingivitis going to pyorrhea, and that goes to periodontal condition. So what do you do? Well, first and foremost, get yourself into the hands of a holistic dentist, because they can help using ozone into the infected area. They can also give you the right kind of non-alcohol-based mouthwash. They can help to irrigate the tissue around it, to clean it out. They can then help scrape off the plaque, at least get you clean. And then that will help you if you have loose teeth and if you have swollen gums. Mind you, most people are not aware that their gums are bleeding because it's a small amount and it generally goes into their saliva or food. But also, it's a big red flag for bad breath. And also bruxism, which is teeth grinding. So what I do is I first start with the detox. Put the person on a 60-day detox. All living foods. Nothing processed. No cooked foods. For 60 days. Lots of juices in that, including chlorophyll. And including wheatgrass. Wheatgrass juice is extremely good for periodontal conditions. And then coenzyme Q10, upwards of 1,000 milligrams. That's very important to help the gum cell growth and healing. But so is vitamin C. And you have to take a lot of it along with quercetin. And then you want to make sure that you're getting the right kind of calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, zinc, and boron. So make sure you get a good bone support supplement. And also, very therapeutic is MSM, which is a methylated sulfur, and that's what you want. Now, vitamin A is always important when you're trying to heal any part of the body. And then I would look at grapeseed extract, B-complex, and then you can gargle with aloe vera gel. That's extremely beneficial for infected gums. And clove oil is also good for gum relief. Echinacea, myrrh, and rose hips are good. So those are the processes I would take to start the healing. Okay?
Thank you, Gary.
All the best to you. Let's say hello to Nick from Ridgefield, New Jersey. Hi, Nick. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I make a juicing batch for about 10 to 14 days, and I wanted to know if I'm preserving my juice the proper way. I use a whole lemon for every 12 ounces of juice and a half a teaspoon of vitamin C for every 8 ounces of juice. Is that okay?
That's good for about a week. If you intend to use juice longer than that, I suggest that you freeze it in the size container that you're going to drink the next day, and then just put that in the fridge from the freezer that night so it thaws, so it's ready to go. That way you could have it for months frozen and use it as desired.
Oh, I do freeze it. Yes, I forgot to tell you that. I do freeze it.
Oh, okay. Then you have no problem at all. You're doing the right thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Good for you.
All right. Thanks.
All right, let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann. And anyone who would like to join in, please do so. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Luann?
Hello, Gary. I had the pleasure of seeing George's face today when he finished the running club and he finished his first mile and a half. This is a man who couldn't walk two blocks. So bravo for George. I was very, very happy for him. I'm getting a lot of emails from people who are responding to this law in New York to give vaccines to minors without parental consent, especially vaccinations for hepatitis B and HPV. And the concern is, they say it's illegal for children to vote, it's illegal for children to choose to drink alcohol, it's illegal for children to drive, to give consent for medical procedures. Yet, New York is planning to let children give consent for vaccinations, a potentially life-changing or destroying procedure, without parental consent. So we have a lot of listeners who have been listening to your show who are absolutely alive with response. So I wondered if you could speak a little bit to this, and if what else can your audience do?
Sure, I'll be happy to. I'm aware of this, and it's a whole effort across the United States. There are dozens of vaccine bills, and this is clearly being pushed by special interest groups, including the pharmaceutical industry, and they're smart. They're smart because they realize that there are a lot of parent organizations out there who've had damage to their children from the vaccine schedule. And it doesn't matter whether it was the MMR or the measles or hepatitis, they're damaged, and some severely damaged with autism spectrum disorder. They also know that once you lie and manipulate to a parent in order to justify using their child as an income stream, they're not going to let that go. They're going to be on it. And they are the most determined, a proactive group in the United States. Their numbers just keep increasing, not decreasing. They network with each other. They're very well organized, and there are millions of them. In fact, to get a lot of people out to close down the Indian Point, to get people out to stop hydrofracking, is an effort. To get people out to challenge mandatory vaccine rules is not. You get 10 times more people out for that than anything else. It was Paul Tillich, who said, "The passion for truth is silenced by answers which have the weight of undisputed authority." And I will be doing a commentary, hopefully, later this week on who controls the world. And it's taking me much longer because every time I get into this and start writing, I open another door. And I see how powerful these people are, and how lacking in power we, the public, are because so few people are aware of the interconnections of all these major corporations. So when pharmaceutical companies plan on settling lawsuits from day one for billions of dollars, it's just the cost of doing business. They were smart enough to hire lobbyists to pass a law that indemnifies them, so you can't sue, no matter how egregious the crime is when it comes to vaccine. If a million kids were killed tomorrow with vaccines, nobody could be sued. You would have to rewrite the laws. But they were smart enough to know which legislators they could buy their vote, and they succeeded. And then once they were identified, then they didn't have to concern themselves with safety issues ever again. So then it was just a matter of how do we create a market? Well, send forth a group of scientists from our think tanks, which we own, or our foundations, which we own, or universities that we receive, that receive enormous hundreds of millions of dollars from us each year, and they're beholden to us, and let them go before state legislative panels and say it's necessary for children to have the right to protect themselves if, in case they have an irresponsible, uneducated parent or one of these crazy parents that actually think there's something wrong with vaccines, one of these conspiratorial nuts. And so they're giving a young child the right to be inoculated with an extremely toxic brew where there is no science on its safety or efficacy, as you will see from a series of 12 articles that we are writing now that will be out over the next 3 months, and a major feature film will also be out at that time, too, on this topic. So clearly a child has no knowledge of what they need, and clearly this should be about freedom of choice. So for the libertarians in the audience, and there are many, and then the idea that the government should once again mandate something that supersedes the right of a mother and father and then starts to ply the schools with inducements to get a free cell phone or to be getting some advantage just to get an inoculation in their body. And if you ask any doctor in the United States associated with the vaccine cause, pro-vaccine, show me the study where you took a group of kids that were never vaccinated and a group of kids that were given these vaccines and that you followed for 5 years, and on a regular basis, every 3 months, you did blood workups and evaluations to see how many from each group developed measles, mumps, you know, chicken pox. What was the outcome? And they're going to say, we've never done such a study. You've never done a study of vaccinated versus unvaccinated? Okay, well, let's do it this way. What is your criteria for safety or efficacy? Do you actually have a legitimate non-mathematical model? And the answer is no. Well, how do you know something's working? Well, increase antibodies. Okay. Do you have any proof that that antibody is protective? And if so, for how long? Well, they haven't done those studies. So is it not true that people who are fully vaccinated came down with the very illness for which they were vaccinated? Yes. Time and again? Yes. In large numbers? Yes. But with a worse case of the measles or the mumps or chicken pox? Yes. So then what is the basis of you claiming that vaccination equals immunization? And then you start to see that if they allow people like myself and others who know what we're talking about and have the scholarship and are not afraid to debate these people, but they won't debate us. I wish they would. There are a lot of us who are wanting to debate them. And even before Congress, when they're asked direct questions, they hide behind some stupid answer. Well, we need more time. Well, we better do more studies. But they've had decades and decades. So I don't believe that any child should ever be given the right to make a medical decision that could impact their life and actually kill them or injure them. And since the actual numbers of people who have been reported with that adverse reaction is anywhere from 1 to 10%, more likely 1 or 2%. So when they say 34,700 people have actually been compensated, well, then take that times almost 100. So you're dealing with millions of people, and then if they've given out $3 billion, then it's almost $300 billion that they would have to have given out. Well, that's a different reality. If people knew how vulnerable they are to disease from vaccinations. And unfortunately, you have so much corruption in the state legislators. They meet with Alex. Everyone should boycott every company associated with Alex. You should ask a recall of any politician that's ever met with Alex, because that means that they have met in secret with a major group of corporate sponsors, given bills that they didn't write, but the corporations did, and then taken back into their state legislators as legislatures, and then passed these as if their citizens needed them. Your state legislator is pimping for ALEC or other special interest groups. And they should be fired. They should be thrown out. They should be disgraced. Now, New York, of course, they're all disgraced. I mean, we are a joke, our entire politic, from the mayors to the city council to the state legislatures to the... They're just a bunch of clowns. They're an embarrassment. And nobody trusts them for good reason. So these are the people who are doing this. Big mistake. Hope that answers that question.
Sure does. And, you know, Gary, someone, Roger from New Jersey, had sent me a piece which kind of tops off what you just said. And he said, the average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history have been about 200 years. During those 200 years, these nations always progress through the following sequence. From bondage to spiritual faith, from faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage. And they, and this Alexander Tyler, a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh, felt that we are in the apathy stage, where people are just kind of complacent and apathetic. But I will tell you that from where I'm sitting and the emails that I'm reading, there is a large segment, a growing segment of progressive thinkers in the population who are getting pretty fed up with this joke that we call our government. That is no longer working for us. We are working for them.
Well, it's nothing new. It's just that there are more people exposing it now. There are more whistleblowers. There are more commentaries. There's more of the Chris Hedges, Glenn Greenwald, Jeremy Scahill. There are more of those people, Seymour Horsher's. There are hundreds and hundreds using the Internet to bring the criminal behavior of our state, federal, and local governments to the people's attention. But you're not going to change anyone, and that's something we have to understand. You're familiar with George Bernard Shaw, the great British playwright and essayist and philosopher, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He said the worst sin towards our fellow creatures is not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them. That is the essence of inhumanity. And then there was the great French philosopher Albert Camus, who said we rarely confide in those who are better than we are. Now, put those two together and look at the problems we face today. We face financial crisis. Wall Street is in a gigantic bubble. Michael Hudson, a humanist, populist, has said so and proved it. Dean Baker, the same. There's a Dr. Galbraith, the same. There's a long list of individuals, Joseph Stiglitz, the same. And yet, they are being ignored. Hence, they are not relevant to the establishment because they're not going to say anything that would continue to promote the bubble philosophy. Wall Street is a bubble. The bond market is a bubble. Even the new spurt in housing is a bubble because it's not more houses being built. It's more people cashing in on the existing glut of foreclosed homes to turn them into rental properties or to flip them. And as a result, there's an artificial market for them. Look at the military-industrial defense. We say we need something for national security. It only requires about $200 billion a year to maintain all of our national security apparatuses. So what are they doing with the other $1.2 trillion per year? Well, those are going to their favorite friends. Now, if you spoke with people who have all these statistics and show how incompetent, corrupt, venal our government is and agencies the government are, the mainstream media won't touch those stories. They don't want to participate in challenging the people that they are supported by. As long as a person's being supported on some level by the establishment or its agencies or officers, they turn the other way. Only after something has fallen will they then come in and say, well, we knew it all along. Well, then why didn't you report on it? Why didn't you expose it? Why is it always someone outside of the mainstream that is doing the heavy looking, loading, and fighting? Never the New York Times, and certainly not those fools on NBC, CNN, and Anderson Cooper, and the rest of these people. They're just mouthpieces, but they're well regarded and well taken care of. That's another thing. So are the people in power asking the advice of those who are brighter? And the answer is never. Never. Even the Democrats, as conceited, as arrogant, as stupid as they are, and I mean they're bone-dumb stupid, they wouldn't talk with Ralph Nader and others like him because, once again, go back to the statement, they're not going to confide in people who are simply smarter. So they want to be the smartest guys on the block. They're not. But they're the most powerful people because they're in positions of power. Obama surrounded himself with people who are the best and brightest in their mind, but they have no connection with the average person. None of their policies ever help the people. They're there to help the people that support them and will continue to support them. So that's why you're not going to see any change at all from anyone. There won't be any revelations. There won't be any epiphanies because of Bill McKibben and other people demonstrating from the White House. So when you understand that we have no ability to make any changes in the establishment because the establishment is completely interconnected. They control the banks. They control the educational system. They control the media. They control the foundations. They control the major industries. So they're not afraid of us anymore. They really don't care what is said. They don't like their secret emails and, you know, their plots and their conspiracies revealed. But even when that happens, there won't be any legal consequences because they control the judiciary and they control the corrupt Justice Department. So then when you realize that we have no impact upon the body politic, none, zero, then realign what we do have power to do. And where we really have power is the power to withdraw our financial support and our political support from any and every one of their institutions. Get your money out of their banks. Tear up their credit cards. Don't buy a house. There's no need for one. That's their dream that you're financing, not yours. Don't get into debt in education because you're not going to have the job you thought you would and would be promised. The government makes 33 cents out of every dollar in student loans, and they're not willing to forgive a nickel of it. These are all corrupt institutions. Only eat organic. Only buy made in USA or fair trade. Don't watch them. Don't listen to them. And that, with the number of true independents and progressives, that's over 45% of the adult population in the United States. In fact, we are more in number than the corporate Democrats and corporate liberals combined. It's just a matter of organizing. You see the mistake that everyone makes? They believe that if you write the right essay, if you show the right documentary, if you write the right book and expose what's going on, someone will say, oh my God, we didn't know this was happening. Let's get in there and change it. No one changes anything in power. If you tried, you'd be excluded from the sacred circle of power. So we simply have to start living outside of their connection. And then you won't be frustrated, and you'll see a lot get done. Okay?
That's great. Thank you.
All right. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening and look forward to sharing more with you on our next program.